It's Tuesday, August 30th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. This is show number 95. We're getting closer to that 100 show. You'll want to tune in. We're going to be giving some details on how you can win some awesome prizes on our 100th show. Geek News Central is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network, so make sure you get over there and visit all the great shows. Strap in, folks. We got a great one for you, and I mean, we've got a great one.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and welcome to the show. Hey, I tell you, first thing I really want to say, I want to get right out to begin with, and I know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be missing the show. You know, a complete tragedy down in the Gulf Coast with the hurricane down there affecting Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama. And of course, as the storm continues up northward, it's going to be doing more damage, and flood waters increasing in the whole nine yards. So my heart goes out to everyone in those regions, and I pray that your families are safe and that you'll go home to not too much damage. You know, when I was living overseas, I was living in Guam for a while, and I went through a Category 5. They call them typhoons in the Pacific, but they're basically the same thing. It's a hurricane. And it was a Cat 5, but the winds were much higher sustained winds, 195, 190, almost 200 miles per hour. And the storm moved very, very slowly. And we were pounded for, on that little small island, I guess, almost, how long was it? Maybe 24 hours, I guess. And I went without electricity for 37 days, and I tell you, my heart really goes out to all of you, because it's not a fun thing to recover from. The cleanup is terrible, and just it's devastating. So let you know that I am thinking about all of you out there. I know some of you obviously are not going to get this show because there's no power, but when you do get a chance and get caught up, I will definitely let you know that we were thinking about you. And for those of you that do have power and are not affected by the hurricane, hey, thanks for staying subscribed and being part of our family here. We really do appreciate it, or at least I really do appreciate it, and I'm glad that you're with us. For all our new listeners, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website. Click on the podcast link, and you'll be able to find archives of our older shows. Along with that, you'll find on our website a tab that says Geek Navigation. Within that, there'll be a link for podcast newsletter. Make sure you get signed up for that newsletter, because on our 100th show, we're going to be giving away some cool prizes, okay? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take all those names, and we're going to actually cut and paste them into a notepad folder once I'm all done, and then I'm just going to cut them up in little strips. And during the show, I'm going to pull names out of a hat, and we're going to give prizes away. And we've got more than one to give away, so we'll have lots of winners on the 100th show. So I hope you're all looking forward to that. I know I am, trying to plan something special for that show, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do yet. If you've got any suggestions or any ideas on what I should do, drop me a note. Let me know what you think. Hey, I want to thank all of you for supporting our sponsors. It is greatly appreciated. It definitely helps me here. It allows me to do things here that we probably wouldn't be able to do in the long run. Any money that we earn from our sponsors, we're turning back over and putting back into the product, into the podcast itself. So over time, you guys are just going to continue to get a better product. Now, I have to admit, today I was... I just gave you a little personal story here. My wife called me at work, and she said, "Hey, a friend of ours is having problems with their computer, and on your way home, can you stop and check it out?" And I said, "Okay, sure." Now, you know, all of you guys that do these friend tech support calls, you know what was happening was bound to happen next, right? So I get over to their house, and her husband was deployed right now. He was out serving in the Middle East, and I do anything I can to help out. And the computer was just loaded to bear with spyware, viruses. It was terrible. And I got to looking at basically their setup, and they're on broadband, no firewall, basically running a static Windows 2, XP setup, no service packs, nothing, okay? And the virus protection had expired in 2002, so yeah, it was bad. And I was surprised that the computer actually had worked that long. And so we got all the critical stuff off, and I slicked the machine. I had no other choice. It was just, you know, you can't start over from that point. So I got back a little bit late today, and so we're getting started. And it isn't too bad of a time, but I was beginning to get worried when I saw this computer. Lucky I got there early enough that I was able to get in and get out pretty quickly. But that being said, you know, I wish I really knew a lot more about Linux, and I'm looking for a Linux guru. If you are a Linux guru and like to help me out or help some of the things that I have got going on, we're getting ready to possibly add some servers and for some other functions. If you're a Linux guru and would like to help me out, let me know. And maybe in exchange, I can promo your services if you have that available. If you do some sort of system administration type stuff, let me know about that. Send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Now, with the hurricane going on, it kind of reminded me to remind all of you that you all should always have an emergency to-go bag with, obviously, your important papers, but don't forget your digital data. You know, if you've got all of your life's works sitting on a hard drive that's in a computer that is by your feet running right now, or is at home sitting churning away and it's not backed up, really need to think about that and the impact that it could have if something catastrophic would have. I know that I've talked about it here before, how we live in a tidal wave zone. So we basically have two bags. I have two bags here in the office that have all the insurance papers, everything that's important, along with two hard drives in it. Not to mention I have one also that I swap out in a safety deposit box that I have at a local bank, just because I'm that concerned about my security of my data. So keep that under consideration, okay? Now, last show, I got all done, hit the stop button on everything. I was like, oh man, I'm ahead of schedule. It was relatively early in the evening, and I did a couple of things. I looked back up my computer, and I had accidentally hit the close button on FeedDemon. Of course, in FeedDemon, I had 17 or 18 tabs already opened up with all the news items that we had talked about during the show, and I could have cried because it basically took me like 45 minutes to go dig. I hope all of those links back up. Some of you sent me some emails, said, where was that link? I think I missed a few, so I apologize for that kind of post-haste here, but that's kind of what happened. And of course, we're all perfect, right? We never make mistakes, so needless to say, I was not I was not happy. I got a message from the folks over at Libsyn. We made a comment last show about their OPML directory and how I was not really pleased with the way they had implemented the RSS feeds. And they sent me an email today where they now have a selection within the setup where you can actually change the RSS feed to whatever you want it to be, so that when you're listed in their OPML directory, it'll point towards the correct RSS feed. So great job on Libsyn, folks, for being proactive. Yeah, I've worked real close with those guys, and we're going to be announcing some stuff with them here in the near future for the Podcaster News Network. Got some exciting stuff going on there, and I know a bunch of you have been asking about that, and news is forthcoming, okay? But we want to make sure it's right before we actually launch. But now it's time to save you some money, okay? Reserve your place on the net with your own .com or other domain name. And now, at GoDaddy, each domain name includes Economy Mail, a $9.95 value free. That's your own personalized email account. Plus, my listeners get an additional 10% off any order. Just enter GEEK3, that's GEEK, and the number 3, as your source code. 10% off, folks. That's huge. take advantage of it. Obviously, there's links within the website itself, or you can just, you know, use a promo code when you're over there at GoDaddy. Okay, got a whole bunch of listener email. Actually, not a whole bunch. I always say that, but it's not that much listener email. And got a couple of comments from, one of them was from Andrew, and he sent me an email after we talked about, you know, I thought there should be a way where we could do set up for complaints for people to set up a website where we could file legitimate complaints. And he actually went out and registered legitimatecomplaints.com. So he's kind of looking to launch this as an open source idea. He's talked a little bit about it in the podcast mailing list at here at Geek News Central. Go over there and visit the site and send Andrew an email. Let him know what you think we should do there. Okay. And it was basically based on the inspiration from the last show where he decided that we thought we could do something there. So I think he's onto something. We just got to be able to implement it correct, so it's not a site where people are whining and where we can really separate the wheat from the chaff and make it a legitimate, complete website, okay? Okay, I got a message from Dan. Hey, Dan, no problem playing the song. We're going to be looking forward to giving away your CDs on 100th show, and we're glad to give you as much exposure as we can. Along with that, Karen sent me an email, and I don't know if this was from a PR person or not. I don't know if it was a listener or someone trying to butter me up with some links to a website, but I found this gallery pretty cool. Have you guys heard about cameras using X3 technology? If any of you that are photography buffs have heard anything about this, I'm going to put the link to this website in the show notes. You guys check out these pictures, some awesome, awesome pictures, but apparently it's from cameras using X3. I'm not really up to speed on that, so you guys let me know if that was a PR gimmick or if this is a legitimate technology we all need to be looking out for. Additionally, I got an email from JPS, and he's a faithful listener of the show, a Mac user. And he had a little bit of confusion when I was talking about the Google sidebar. JPS, I must apologize. That is a Windows-based application only right now. I don't believe Google has launched anything else on that in other operating systems. So just keep bugging them, and maybe they will. But sorry for the confusion. It is a Windows-based application. Now, additionally, there was a email from Richard who talked about some voice IP tips. And this covers Skype and Google Talk. And I didn't necessarily talk real well about Google Talk, but I've been hearing some mixed reviews from people saying that it is actually as good or better than Skype. Now, that hasn't been my experience so far, but I'm going to be doing some stuff with Richard Greenlee over at Web Talk Radio tomorrow. We're going to give that a try and actually do some testing and see what the difference is between Skype and Google Talk, excuse me. Now, I know the Labor Day is coming up, but I want you to mark your calendar, okay? Because on Saturday is going to be our special event, and I want you to pay attention. We want you to be part of this upcoming event. So here's our announcement on that. Mark September 3rd on your calendar for a special presentation by the TechPodcast.com Roundtable. We'll be using a revolutionary web conferencing tool called GoToMeeting to show you all kinds of new cool things, like the tips and tricks of Real Simple Syndication and how to use Dave Weiner's new OPML editor in a collaborative way, and also a hack that we have uncovered that will allow you to use the Microsoft Word Blogger plugin with any weblog. And get this, thanks to this presentation, GoToMeeting has agreed to let TechPodcast.com listeners try this innovative web conferencing tool free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/TechPodcast to register for your free trial. Discover how GoToMeeting can revolutionize the way you hold online meetings. Try GoToMeeting free now and be sure to join us September 3rd for our special presentation. See the show notes on how you can be part of our live presentation. Okay, I've got a pile of news today. There was so much that I had to just skip some of it, to be honest with you, because I knew if I did not, we would be really, really long in the show. And I've tried to keep this to 45 minutes. And, you know, I know some of you said, oh, let's go an hour or two, but let's keep it reasonable for the majority of you. There's a I found on a website called TechCrunch, and it's the first time I've been over to this website before. And they are talking about a application that is being used within Firefox. It's called Flock, F-L-O-C-K. And the website is flock.com, obviously, but they have got a social browsing tool that basically it's a browser built on top of Firefox. It's a functional browser with, I guess, excellent features, according to the article. And what really makes it stand out are two additional features where they've added a social networking application directly into the browsing experience and social bookmarking. Now, it allows you to do some interaction with Delicious, and it's got a blogging tool. The beta, I'm seeing that the beta might be beta, but you can apply for it. Now, I'm not heavily into social tools, and so I know some of you are, so this may be something that may interest some of you. Take it for what it's worth. Check it out, flock.com. Now, you all know that I really like to talk about the RIAA, right? I like to talk about them in such a positive light. I have such strong positive feelings for them. Yeah, well, I found a cool website. It's called recordingindustryversuspeople.blogspot.com. Of course, the link will be up in the show notes. So I think this is a very informative website. I personally think that this website is one that if you're concerned about fair use, that you need to go over and check out. We're going to be talking a little more about the story that is actually at the top of their weblog today. It's talking about a mother of five taking on big music. We'll get to that a little later in the program. But this is the type of information that's it basically talks about the people that are getting sued, the real people that are receiving these notices from the RIAA, of which most of them are expected just to roll over and pony up the money. Some people are fighting, some are not. So this is a good site to get some information on this, obviously be in the show notes. I'm wondering how many of you actually watch TV via the internet. I know my wife does. She gets some Japanese channels that are not available anywhere else. She has to pay, well, actually, here in Hawaii, they have five Japanese channels that cost $19.95, and they're really terrible. They're old shows. There's nothing mainstream. So she's able through a service that I'm not going to really advertise on the show, but through a service, she can get a live Japanese TV via the internet today. And that's really awesome because she's able to, check stuff out that's going on at home without having to pay a big amount of money to the local cable company. She can route around them. The BBC is about to do the same thing next year. They're going to simulcast one of their channels, either BBC One or BBC Two. They're going to let UK viewers see programs on the web at the very same time they go out on the TV. I think this is cool. Now, what will be even more awesome is if they make the service available to people outside of the UK. Now, they don't go into that detail too much, but this should make all of the media companies shudder in their sleep. I'm sure there's some people that had a coronary today. Because what's going to happen when we are able, via our broadband connections, to completely route around our cable companies? Now, sure, you can get Dish. You can get the services that are provided by your cable company. But how many of you, I'm not a big sports fan, okay? Some of you guys are out there going, you're kidding, right? I know some of you are huge sports fans, but I'm not. Now, I do watch auto racing on TV, but that's about the extent of watching sports anymore. And I might watch the Super Bowl or the playoffs, but not really a lot. So I really don't need ESPN and all the other sports channels are out there. But guess what? My cable company requires me to pay for those to have a basic package. Now, what would be awesome is if I could go and just pick and choose. I want this channel, this channel, this channel, this channel, and the rest of them I don't subscribe to. I'm more than happy to pay for what I watch, but I don't want to take the stuff that I don't watch and just take that and flush it, okay? So is this going to be awesome or what? I would predict within 5 years, we're going to be able to route around not only the cable company, but we're going to be able to route around Dish Network and all those people, and we're going to be able to get our services from the source. Now, what does that do to the cable network's model? Well, it's bad news, okay? They basically become a channel provider of data. You know, that's all they do is they're going to be a data provider. They have been taken out of the media business. Now, some of you are going to say that'll never happen in a big way, But I think with the uptake of broadband, and we're going to talk about the uptake of broadband here in a little bit also on some trends that are going on with broadband, it kind of lends itself to possibly this maybe being more close to reality than what everyone thinks. But again, the BBC is going to be launching this channel to be put on the net. I think this is absolutely awesome. I obviously don't watch too much BBC television. I think every once in a while they have a channel they play here live, but I think it's only during some sort of, you know, maybe some emergency event or some special newscast that goes on over there once in a while. So, you know, where do you guys think this is going to go? Send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com or send me a voicemail at 619-342-7365 on your comments. And what do you think would be a cool service if we can route around your cable network and essentially save yourself some money, hopefully, in the end? Now, over on Channel 9, someone posted a just absolutely hilarious cartoon. It's called Google Park, and Scooble goes to Google. And I just think this is, it's funny. If you guys may not get it, you got to be really geeky to get it, but I'm going to go ahead and link this up in the show notes. And it's just hilarious what some of them came up with on this. And it's all about Robert Scoble's trip down to Google about a week or so ago. So I'll let you guys all check that out within the show notes. Okay, I talked a little bit about Mobile Type 3.2 being released last week. And, you know, I was getting ready on Sunday to do the install on my website. So I went, and I always go through and back up my system. So there's a whole bunch of steps I go through before I even think about upgrading. And I went in and read their upgrade steps. And they normally have a very straightforward upgrade step. I don't know what is going on with their documentation, but it's all hokey in the new way that this is supposed to be a real easy way to upgrade to 3.2. It's supposed to be really clear, precise. It wasn't. They said you need to go in and make some changes to your templates. I couldn't even find where the documentation is on the new templates. I can't even find the deltas. That's what I want to know. I don't want to know every template tag. I just want to know what the deltas are and know what I have to change. But so far, you know, I haven't been able to dig that out. So if anyone's found that, and, you know, if anyone from Movable Type or Six of Parts listening, you guys, the documentation is, I know what you tried to do, but why did you go mess up a good thing? It just, And I'm not the only one. There's some other people that are complaining about the upgrade process, and there's actually been quite a few people that have had some issues. I'm going to hold off a few more days and see if they come out with a 3.2.1 or something to fix some of the issues that have become apparent. Okay, over on Engadget, there was an article today about a two-fisted mouse. All right, I've got my right hand on a trackball mouse scroll wheel. I have the other one on my keyboard, but how many of you think that you could actually use two mouses, one to move the cursor and the other to click? Does that make any sense to you guys? Or is this just a gimmick? Apparently, this is supposed to lower the risk of repetitive stress injuries, carpal tunnel, in other words. And I know that I battle carpal tunnel from time to time. But I don't think this is it. I think it's all about your position of your keyboard, your mouse, how you sit, the whole nine yards. But it's called the ErgoClick. Not necessarily going to give anything an endorsement here. I just thought it was kind of an odd tool, and I thought I'd point out. Seems like every time I talk about the PSP, the Sony PSP, I get a lot of feedback from you all. That's telling me that a lot of you have one of these, and you're using some of those hacks that are out there available for them. But there's a new hack out, how to download new tracks to your PSP via Wi-Fi. I'll put the link up in the show notes. I'm not going to talk too much about it because, I don't have too much knowledge about the PSP. We do have a listener that has has become my resident, basically points me to all the cool articles. And he says there's going to be some news coming out here directly on the 2.0 firmware. So we'll kind of keep an eye on that, see what happens. But I will link this up, how to download new music tracks to your PSP via Wi-Fi. Okay, I'm kind of in the market for a new cell phone. And so I've been actually a new cell provider. I've been with T-Mobile for 3 or 4 years. They did me wrong last year. I kind of vowed that once this subscription period was over that I would look for a new service. My wife needs a new phone. T-Mobile doesn't want to upgrade me. They want to try to charge me a bunch of money for a phone. and I need more minutes. So I've been shopping around, and we've been looking at Verizon. Part of the reason I've been looking at Verizon is because my mom's on Verizon, so we'll be able to talk for free along with my sister. So it's kind of an incentive that way to save some minutes. And I thought along with it, I said, you know, I travel a lot. It'd be kind of cool to have broadband when I was on the road. And I got to thinking, I wonder if they had the EVDO service here in Hawaii. And I went and looked, and of course, unfortunately, they do not. And it is really, they've got a price break. They're getting ready to announce a reduction in price from $80 a month to $60 a month. Now, it seems like a lot of money, but if you spend as much time as I do online, and there are many times I get stuck on dial-up, and I thought this might be a way to get a little more speed. I could justify the expense through the gained productivity, but no high speed in Hawaii. And of course, I started looking at the city rollout, and they don't have that many cities that they have this service in. Now, apparently, Sprint and Nextel are about to announce a nationwide rollout of its own EVDO. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait. But I wonder, does anyone have any info on when that's going to happen? And has anyone seen a list of cities that those are going to roll out in? I did a little search on Sprint's site, did a little bit of a search on Nextel. Didn't find a lot of information. Found some. But I would really, especially, does anybody in this audience work at Sprint or Nextel? Why don't you hook a brother up and send me some info? Make me a new customer. Give me a reason. Why don't you guys give me a reason to switch to a specific company? Or tell me why I should stay with T-Mobile, okay? And maybe some of you, I know some of you out there are pretty passionate about your gadgets and the service providers you're with. And I know Verizon's got a network that can't hardly be beat. Some of you will probably say otherwise. But yeah, let's get some feedback on this and see if I can get some debate up and hopefully drive me to a decision that will get me a combination package where I'll have a new cell phone, lots of minutes, a family plan, along with EVDO, hopefully, knock on wood, in Hawaii. But I don't know. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Okay, for those of you that are hardcore Windows fans, Microsoft has released the Windows File System Beta, WFS. So what that means is those of you that are in their developer network can now download this next version of Windows that has the WINFS next generation file system embedded in it. So I am pretty happy to see that they've rolled this out. They didn't expect to see this until next year. They've been talking about it for a long time, so it was kind of a surprise that it was put on the street today. So those of you that have that are in the developer network and may have downloaded this today and started playing around with it or checking out how capable it is, let me know. I'm going to be very curious to see where they go with their implementation on this new file system. Okay, over on Tom's Hardware Guide, there's some new details in the Apple iPod battery settlement. Now, I thought this was already settled. I didn't realize that this was still an outstanding issue, but apparently there must have been a sort of court battle that was going on. But it states on the website here, and it's stated today, that Apple Computer will offer a cash refund, store credits, or replacement batteries for certain iPod models as part of a class action settlement centering around the music player's battery life. So what they're going to do is they are going to offer, Apple will offer customers who bought its first two iPod models, so Gen 1 and Gen 2 iPods, a $25 cash or a $50 Apple store credit. Customers who have paid Apple to repair an iPod battery are eligible for a refund of half their replacement cost. Now, why do I seem to think this was already announced before? I thought I'd seen this. Maybe it wasn't finalized. Again, like I said, but it's kind of like it's rehashing old news, but it is on two different websites today. So for those of you that have had battery issues with the iPod, you're going to want to check this out. Maybe you're owed some money, or you'll have a way to save some cash on the replacement of the battery that's in your existing iPod. In some more significant Apple news, Apple is hinting that it will unveil a significant new product at an invitation-only event to select media people next week. The invitation reads in part, 1,000 songs in your pocket changed everything. Here we go again. So what does this mean? Is it going to be a cell phone with iTunes built in? Or is it going to be a high-capacity cell phone, maybe? Is it going to be a video iPod? My prediction is it's going to be a new device. And it's going to have a bigger screen, and it's going to allow you to do video. That's my prediction. My prediction goes contrary to what everyone else is saying on websites, where it's going to be a iTunes-capable cell phone. Now, what will be the kicker is how much storage is on that cell phone. I think that's going to drive the hype here. So we'll see where they go, see what's going to happen. Well, it'll be next week, September 7th at 10 a.m., so I'm sure there'll be more news on this as the week develops. And the way people are sleuthing around trying to dig info out, I'm sure that the secret will be on the street confirmed long before Apple makes the actual official announcement. I told you earlier in the podcast that we'd be talking about peer-to-peer. And there's a great article on O'Malley's broadband blog that discusses peer-to-peer. And the title of it is Peer-to-Peer, the Only Killer Broadband Application. And this is in reference to how peer-to-peer is driving consumer broadband demand and broadband is driving peer-to-peer uptake. So essentially what's happening, essentially those that have been adapting broadband are jumping right on the peer-to-peer bandwagon, and they're using applications like BitTorrent, eDonkey, FastTrack, and several other additional peer-to-peer programs. And there's actually been a slide away from people using BitTorrent, and there's a lot more traffic being moved by eDonkey. Some of you are going to say, so what? You know, we know that's what people are doing. We know they're sharing files, sharing music, etc. But there's some conclusions or some hypotheses, maybe, I guess I should better say, that, and these are more conclusions, and I kind of want to read a couple of these. It says, the service providers have little or no reason to block P2P traffic in the near term, because it drives growth, and since most service providers are in growth mode, well, you know, they're not going to block it. Secondly, in the long term, however, P2P traffic, if not managed properly, is going to become a big problem. And I think that's true already. I think we're seeing it already. Along with that, he states, explosion in P2P traffic is going to have an impact on people who don't use the P2P services as well. Finally, it stated, due to P2P's symmetrical nature, and on average, 80% of upstream capacity is consumed by P2P. So what do you guys think? Why do you think it's driving this? Why do you think P2P utilization is on the increase? Todd's perspective on this is people are moving a lot more data than just music anymore. They're moving videos. They're moving TV programs. They're moving stuff that they've recorded on their DVRs, transferred to the PCs, and sharing with their buddies. This goes into some of the concerns I've had, where the MPAA and RIAA are continually cracking down now more on people utilizing these services, and they're going after the applications themselves and trying to obtain, through legal action, logs of utilization. So be careful out there. Use your net connections carefully. Don't get caught in a jam where you're going to end up having to pay the MPAA or RIAA some horrendous amount of money. But I don't think they're going to be able to stop it, to be honest with you. In the long term, I think it's going to drive fatter pipes, basically. Service providers are going to have to put in more bandwidth to support it. Time will tell, but this is a very, very insightful article. I recommend that you all take a gander at it and read it from top to bottom. It's based in a lot of statistical data that it was derived from some studies and some actual measurement off the internet. So I think it's a very, very valid story. Okay. I'm beginning to wonder myself if top 100 lists are really that valuable. And I have to agree with another writer on the internet where he says that he would like to see top 100 niche list. In other words, I'd like to see the top 100 tech weblogs. I'd like to see the top 100 science. I'd like to see the top 100 basket weaving. You name it. I think that we need to break the metadata down further and categorize weblogs a little closer so that I can find the top 100 or the supposed top 100 in categories that I'm interested about. I don't really care about political weblogs. I read them, but if you look at the top 100 or top 500 lists, there's a lot of political weblogs in there. And I'm not, to be honest with you, it's just I don't talk politics on this show and I don't read politics. So I really don't visit those sites. So give me a list that is independent of, you know, it's topic dependent. I think we will see a larger utilization of those types of lists, and they have a lot more value to me as a consumer of information. I know it'd be a lot more value to those of you too. You want to know who's moving and shaking in the world of tech or whatever content that you may be interested in. Those of you that are big Northwest Airlines fans, I think this is something that is totally awesome. They have 4 RSS feeds up on their website, and they're basically listed. All promotions includes all 4 RSS feeds, so you get an all-in-one. You get a fare promotion feed, a World Perks travel order, a travel offer feed, and a World Perks partner offer feed. So this is a smart thing. And I've heard Northwest has had some trouble, obviously, recently because of some strikes and stuff going on. But if you want to find out on a day-to-day basis what they've got going on for fare promotions directly from Northwest, this would be the perfect way for, and this is huge. Can you imagine if all the airlines did this and had RSS feeds for all their special deals where you could actually see that, hey, they're going to offer a special deal from LA to San Francisco, or they're going to have a Hawaii to wherever. You know, I always look for those discount prices, and it's those are the type of deals that, you know, if they put out last minute, especially if you're thinking about doing a weekend thing and they've got a great discount price for a weekend trip that you can snap up at the last minute, totally awesome, very smart, good going on Northwest Airlines part. I haven't flown them in a while. I got a bunch of frequent flyer miles I got to use with them some point. But I'll have the link up in the show notes. You guys can add that if you're a Northwest Airlines customer. I'm sure those of you that have been with us for a while have already checked out the website called Digg. Digg.com, D-I-G-G.com. I've kind of used this as my /dot replacement website. I'll be honest with you. We had a /dot event at Geek News Central recently, and I was underwhelmed by the amount of traffic that was driven to the site. You know, I was expecting this big, horrendous flood of traffic, and be honest with you, some A-list webloggers have driven more traffic to my website than /dot did. But I've started to see some traffic come in from Digg, where we get reference in Digg from time to time, where it's pretty significant amount of traffic. Be sure to check out Digg, and if you don't know what Digg is all about, there's a little box right on the website that says, what's Digg? And you'll be able to get the information on it, and you can check out the most Digg stories, okay? Over on PBS.org, Ike Kringle, which is actually written by Robert Kringle, he has, this is actually an article that was written on the 25th, and it says, has Google peaked? And he is of the belief that Google has basically tapped out all their ideas, which I don't think is true, and that the reason that they are putting up a new stock option is just to get the money because they don't think they're going to have any, he doesn't think that they're going to have an opportunity to raise this type of funds in the future. Interesting perspective by Robert, and he also throws in the Apple equation on this, which I thought was kind of cool. So go ahead, and I'll let you guys take a read, and let me know what you think. If Robert's right, do you think Google's tapped out? Do you think they've shown all their cards, or are they just trying to collect enough cash to survive the decline of their service? I really don't think so, but I've been wrong before. Okay, over on a website called, so this is Mass Communication. It's Kay Trammell's blog. I've subscribed to her weblog for quite a while, and I found an article on there today that talks about flagging blogger content. As many of you know, I deal a lot with sites that are always ripping off my content, taking it, putting it on their sites for their own. I'm usually able to get that shut down pretty quickly. But what I find is I find a lot of sites that use, for example, Geek News Central, they'll link up links to some of my shows that we put up for podcasts, to put all kinds of stuff in a article, or actually in a posting that makes absolutely no sense. You read it and you look at it and you go, what in the world are they talking about? And all it really is a way for them to try to gain some ranking within Google when the page is indexed. So what is, and it's basically spammers is what they have, spammers that have set up weblogs that are trying to get some page rank. So now when you find sites like this that are either abusing your content or actually doing outright spamming, being a spam blog, you're actually able to go over there and set the flag on that website. I'm sure they set a cookie or something within your browser to know it was you, but you go over there and click on it and it changes it. And it alerts Blogger that there is some, that there's some issues with this website. They get reviewed. So hopefully it's going to allow us to get sites taken down a lot faster. I commend Blogger for doing this. I wish there would be some more services like this on other weblogs. I'm sure that this is going to result in some abuse, but at least manually a person can go over there and review it and say, yeah, this is objectionable material, or it's a spammer that's doing something they're not supposed to, then kill it or contact the author. Good going on Blogger's part. We'll see what happens with this service. I know that I've flagged a couple of sites, and I've only had them flagged, I guess, now for about 24 hours. So we'll see if they actually get taken down or if they're left up. We'll see if it has an actual effect. Jason Calacanis has a great article up that I think a lot of web bloggers are dealing with. And I know some of them probably don't think about it too much. I know that I have a little bit. And it's in relation to Amazon affiliate links that people carry on their websites. You know, Adam Curry's talked about having he promotes that coffee maker over there on his website. And he said he's done pretty well with that, with the commissions on those sales. Obviously, I link up podcasting, the do-it-yourself guide, because obviously I endorse that book. Now, Jason's concern is on their sites over there at Weblogs Incorporated, I guess they've got over 100 blogs over there, that they've started to populate some of those sites with affiliate links, and they wonder if there's an ethical issue on conflict of interest, because if he puts a telephone on the Engadget weblog, does that really, is he endorsing that app, that particular product while he's reviewing competitors' products within the same space? Along with that, he talks about putting automotive electronics in a couple of positions over on his auto blog. I think this is a real issue, and he's looking for some feedback on it, and he's got his own opinions, which he hasn't shared yet. I know that I have mine, that I've always said that I'm not going to talk about or advertise or have an advertiser on my site or on my podcast that I don't personally support or endorse. I'll always let you know that's an advertiser or a sponsor or something that's being promoted so that you guys see the clear distinction. I'm not going to subliminally promote something that I've been accused of that a couple of times in emails. Some people have sent me an email saying, hey, how come you're always talking about this? I'm like, hey, it's not because I'm promoting them. It's not because I'm endorsing them. It's something that I may use, but I'm not actively going out there and suggesting people go out and buy it. If I do, I'll tell you, I'll be straight up. But it's not that I'm getting paid. I'm not getting paid to do these. You guys know who my paid sponsors are on the site. You can see it very clearly. So I don't know. I don't know about this. You know, if I go, well, let's say I go out and put on a link to a mixer or a link to a microphone, how do you distinguish then if I have been paid to put that on there, or I've already said I'm not going to put something on there unless I personally endorse it. So this is the thing that Engadget is, not Engadget, but Weblogs Incorporated is trying to kind of come up with a thought process on this possible ethical issue. So he's got 3 points on there I think are worthy of a read and a comment to him. Let him know what you think. Let me know what you think and give me some feedback. We're always looking for feedback on our sponsors and people that we promote here on the show too. So let me know. All right, I've got a whole bunch of stuff and we're running long. I'm already 45 minutes in. Apparently, Yahoo is going to be unveiling a new email search feature. Of course, I don't think I've used Yahoo email since its existence. I know it's been around for a long time. I've got a Yahoo email address, but I think I check it like once every 6 months and just delete the spam out of it. But those of you that use Yahoo email, they're going to have a new search function that you're going to be able to utilize. Now, in a sad development, there is going to be some backlash that Yahoo is going to face from Flickr users. Now, like any company that's been acquired, you can expect changes. But Yahoo has basically announced that they are going to migrate all Flickr accounts into Yahoo. The service is going to be migrated, and they're going to force all of the community, which is a very tight-knit photo community, into their service. And they are giving a deadline of 2006. Either that, or basically their accounts are going to get canceled. Now, there's a group called Flickr Off discussing a migration of their own, going to a different site. So it's a curious development. I've used Flickr a little bit. I know those folks over there are really strong about the product, and you know, I hate to see what Yahoo will do. Hopefully they will keep the spirit of the community and not make it a big Yahoo advertisement like usual. But we'll see what happens. And there's a pretty good discussion on a bunch of websites about this. So we'll link that up. This was in CNET News. Now, our good friend Robin Good, and I say good friend because he creates great articles every week. And he's got his new media picks of the week. And this has become quite the regular feature over here that I like to talk about. And this week, and this kind of fits into what we're going to be doing on Saturday. This week, Robin Good's new media pick selections include a lot of stuff on RSS. And he's got, he goes over 11 different apps. And some of them are RSS by email, RSS ad management, RSS readers, blog to MP3 audio converter, podcast RSS feed creator, turn any RSS feed into a podcast, online music clearinghouse for independent artists. Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. I guess it's not all about RSS, but a great list of tools, websites again, where he digs this stuff out. Bravo on him. If you haven't got him in your news aggregator already, this is a site that you want to visit and make sure that you add, because he just comes out with great list every week. When I go gadget shopping, I always visit at least half a dozen sites, do searching on products, trying to look for reviews, etc. I found a pretty reliable source is PCWorldPriceGrabber.com website, and that's at PCWorld.PriceGrabber.com. It's a good place to start looking for gadgets and for pricing and reviews. They've got an RSS feed that lists all the greatest prices of the week. So you want to check that out. It's something that I use on a regular basis, and it's one of those little RSS tips, tricks that I like to keep in my back pocket for finding the best tools and services. Okay, have you guys heard about Streamload? And it's an awesome, awesome application where you're allowed to, you get all those digital photos and songs and videos on your PC, and how do you share them with friends, family, and colleagues? Or how do you access them when you're away from your PC or that matter? One of the solutions is Streamload. It's a service that lets you send, receive, and store large amounts of data via the web. I've heard some good reviews about this. There was an actual review that I've linked up in the PC on the PC Mag site. They give it a 3.5 out of 5 dot ranking. It's got some pros and cons to it. Cons being it's a little sluggish. Price is reasonable. But if you're looking for a way to share this type of stuff with people and you're not a real hardcore geek and you want to be able to do this easily, check out Streamload. I think this might be worth your time. Okay, at the beginning of the show, I told you I was going to talk about a peer-to-peer case where a mom is being sued by the RIAA, and apparently a judge is not real happy with what the RIAA has done here. I'm just going to summarize real quickly because we're running on time. in a court hearing, a judge had some very interesting things to say, and this came out of the transcripts. This is what he says. After noting his fears that his kids would download something and get him sued, he says, "Well, I think it would be a really good idea for you to get a lawyer because I would love to see your mom fighting one of these." And one of these being this lawsuit that the RIAA has filed against this mom of five children. And basically between all the quotes, it seems that the judge sees the RIAA as simply bullying people into settling rather than making sure that they have a real case. Great article on Tech Dirt. I'm going to let you guys go and check all the links. And I hope this lady needs some money because I will very happily contribute to her defense fund if she needs to fight this organization. And obviously, in my personal opinion, I don't think what they're doing is correct. And I'll leave it at that. You guys know where I stand on that anyway. Okay. Last article. I don't have enough time to go into it too deep because I want to play some promos yet tonight. And I'm just giving you a little taste here. You guys can go check this out via the show notes. And the title of the article is Microsoft in Internet TV Partnership. This is on Yahoo News. It talks, and we've talked a little bit about IPTV recently. And I think this is going to be, goes along with what I talked about earlier in your show and routing around the cable companies and basically bypassing them. I don't know if this is going to be completely do it because they're kind of in on the deal, obviously. But I'll let you guys go and read this. And hopefully this is just another step towards getting all kinds of digital content delivered the way we want it to our telephones, to our iPods, to our MP3 players, to our portable media devices, you name it. The revolution continues. And I know that all of you out there are living that, being that you are listening to this podcast. But as always, I want to thank all of you for staying subscribed and being with staying with us here at the Geek News Central podcast. I emphatically appreciate it. I really do. And I'm glad that you continue to be part of our family. As always, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. Why don't you guys that are in the interactive mailing list, and I'll try to kick up the discussion in there myself tomorrow, start throwing around some ideas on what you guys want to see on the 100th show. We're at 53 minutes. I'm really long. I apologize for the length of the podcast, but there was just too much great news today. And we're going to get this wrapped up. I'm going to play some promos. I think I've got 6 to play. And a couple of them are a little long. Those of you that are sending me promos to geeknewspromos@gmail.com, please try to keep them to a minute. I would really appreciate it if they're a minute or under. That way I can get everyone played in an equal basis. Thanks for being with me. We'll have some comments. Of course, a real quick comment after the promos are done. We'll see you on Friday, folks.
From Honolulu, Hawaii, listen to Dr. Carl Weisbrod tell stories about his long and interesting career as a psychotherapist. Dr. Carl gives fascinating insights into the forces driving human behavior. I like to find a visit www.podcastwds.com. That's podcastwds.com. Lady sweetly,
for me, there'll be mango trees to climb. Luau's all the time, where the palm trees sway.
Hello, I'm Perth Rotary.
And I'm Tara Trophy.
And we want to tell you about Harry Potter, the world's first weekly Harry Potter podcast. But who wants to listen to me?
I sure don't.
So let's tune into our intrepid reporter, Taraya Streak, instead.
Hi, Taraya.
Taraya, why don't you tell people all about our podcast?
Hello, dears. I'm not very happy with you.
Whatever for?
Well, you always report on muggles, and Tara gets to report on the Wizarding World. But I'm always set in some terribly dangerous mission, like collecting barnacles off of Nessie, or interviewing man-eating plants from Bolivia. And today, you've got me tracking down a herd of invisible stone elephants. Now, really.
There, Taraya. Just look a little harder.
Ha ha, sweetie. How delightful. But this time, darling, I'm certain it's a good chance!
Tune in every week for the exciting Harry Potter podcast at harrypotterpodcast.blogspot.com.
That's Potter with two D's. Bye.
Hi, this is Steve Webb, host of Lightspring. What will you find here? Well, you'll find music, conversation, and reasons to believe. Jesus said, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Listen up. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your age, your sex, your station in life. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" LifeSpring is about answering that question and the question of how and why the answer can and does affect your life today. Come on by and check out the show at LifeSpringPodcast.com. That's LifeSpringPodcast.com. I'm Steve Webb, and I'll see you there.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Dragon's Landing Inn. Come in from the cold and warm yourself by the fire.
Wow, thanks a lot. It's downright cold out there.
If you're looking for something to eat, we've got a feast of ideas and advice for tabletop RPG players over there.
Uh-huh.
And in the back room, we have interviews with gaming industry insiders.
Right.
And out here in the common room, we have lots of good hearty discussion about all kinds of RPGs and accessories. So, what can I get for you?
One podcast later.
Little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm. No little mug of beer wouldn't do us any harm.
Visit the Dragon's Landing podcast at www.dragonslanding.com.
Hello, my name is Pierre Janel, and I am the host for a podcast called The PCC, le podcast de la Cabane au Canada. It's a French-only podcast about Montreal and the Montreal area. So, for example, in the last few episodes, I took you with me to do some whale watching on the St. Lawrence River to see some belugas and some other whales. I did also a podcast on the Formula One circuit here in Montreal on my rollerblade, and also we spent some wonderful evening together at the International Jazz Festival, which happened a couple of weeks ago. So if you like this kind of sound seeing tour, I invite you to come to my blog at the following address: http://cabaneaucanada.over-blog.com, so which spells in French Cabane au Canada in one word .over-blog.com. Okay, see you there. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, that's all of them for tonight. And hey, I had to cut one out because I had some material in it that was not child safe. So all promos have to be child safe. So I don't allow any, and I repeat, I do not allow any swearing within any promo that we produce. So, or that we promo. So thanks for tuning in, folks, and we'll see you on Friday. Aloha.